Ever had anything like that happen to you? You know, maybe not exactly that, but you know, something bad happens to you and some person, usually some well-meaning Christian, will come up and, you know, quote that Bible verse, or, you know, they'll say some, you know, equally helpful thing. You know, maybe you're like that guy and, you know, your girlfriend just broke up with you, you're burnt the wings, or maybe it's something even more, you know, serious than that. Maybe the marriage that you've been trying to hold together is dissolving right in front of you. Maybe you just found out that you lost your job. Maybe the diagnosis just came back and it was not good. Maybe you've got a sick child or a child that got hurt or even a child that died, and something negative, very bad happened in your life, and some well-meaning Christian comes up and, you know, says something like, well, God must really be up to something. Or, you know, you must be very special for God to trust you with something like this. Or won't it be neat to see what God does in this situation? Or maybe just the kind of the catch-all. Aren't you glad to know that this all happens, that everything happens for a reason? And maybe if someone has said things like that to you in a pretty negative time in your life, maybe you felt like that guy and you just want to punch him in the nose. You know, maybe you had restraint and you didn't do that, but you felt like, hey, if this is God's special thing in my life, then I wish he'd bless somebody else with this special thing, because this doesn't seem to be like a good thing. Well, we're going to kind of look at that idea this morning, that everything happens for a purpose. In fact, it's going to be the fourth in our series of dumb things that smart Christians believe. If you are just joining us, if you're here for the first time in this series or back for the first time in a while, we're in a five-part series called Five Dumb Things That Smart Christians Believe. And so, if you don't get offended by the title, it's not to say that if you believe these, you're dumb. But rather, on the contrary, that these are dumb things that even smart people like us believe. And so if we, as we said, if we could make the title longer, we would say these are dumb things that smart, really attractive, very good, you know, witty, wonderful people like us sometimes believe. And they're kind of spiritual urban legends that we end up believing because we've either misinterpreted or misapplied, usually, a Bible verse. We started the very first week by talking about the myth that faith fixes everything. And we saw that actually biblical faith sometimes, at least in the short term, makes things worse. If you don't believe me, think about those Christians in the Middle East right now. Their faith could very easily, in the short term, make their situation worse. But we saw that if we had biblical faith that trusted God to obey even when it didn't make sense, that even if things didn't get fixed in this life, that he promised that our eternity would be fixed, that our most important problem of all would be fixed. Then the second week we looked at the idea that the myth that God has a blueprint for our life, and saw that instead of a very detailed, every step laid out for us kind of a blueprint, God has more of a game plan for our life, and his game plan for our life consists of us becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And as we're becoming more and more like Jesus and instituting the plays that he has in the playbook to help us become more like Jesus, then sometimes he just leaves some of those decisions that we stress about up to us and lets us make those decisions. Last week we talked about the myth that Christians shouldn't judge. And we talked about, if we were talking about judgment in the sense of getting on God's throne and pronouncing eternal judgment on people, then yes, that is not our role. But if we're talking about judgment in the idea of discernment and critically thinking about things that are going on around us, then that's something we are commanded to do over and over and over again. And we saw that as we judge, the first thing we're to do is to look at ourselves first before we begin to address something in anyone else. Well, today we're going to jump in with this fourth dumb thing that sometimes smart Christians believe, and that is everything happens for a reason. Of course, when we say everything happens for a reason, what we mean is that God causes everything to happen for a reason, right? And we say that everything that happens is because God caused it to happen, and there must be a good reason for it. Now, where do we get this idea? As in most of the spiritual urban legends, it comes from a misunderstanding or a misapplication of scriptures. In this case, one in particular, and that's in Romans 8, verse 28. It's the verse that the guy in the video kept quoting to his unfortunate friend. And that's what we're going to look at today. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to camp out in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 28 and some of the verses surrounding it to see what it actually says. But Romans 8:28 is kind of the key verse that people will point to when they say, yes, this is what everything happens for a reason. But as we're going to see, this verse doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. And as we'll also see, it doesn't even apply to a lot of the people who seem to take comfort in it. So this morning, we're going to kind of look at what this verse doesn't mean, and look at what it does mean, look at who it's talking to, who it means it for, whatever it is that it means, and then hopefully why it matters in the first place. If you've got your Bibles, we'll be looking in Romans 8:28, and I think one of the reasons that people misunderstand this verse is because a lot of people learned it in the King James Version. Okay, a lot of people grew up in the King James Version. It was the only kind of one that was out there, and so we learned this verse, and here's what this verse says in the King James Version. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. How many of you learned that verse that way? Okay, many of us, if you grew up in church, you learned it that way. The Living Bible says it even more in the way that helps people misunderstand. It says this, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. And then the New Living Translation continues on that same idea. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. You see, especially in translations like that, it seems on the surface to imply that everything that happens is part of God's greater plan. That this whole life is like a big jigsaw puzzle, and we won't be able to see what the full picture is till we get the end. And eventually, we'll be able to look back at all the bad things that happened to us and go, oh, now I see. Now I understand why that bad thing happened. God was using it for this other good thing to make this picture. This kind of understanding says that everything that happens is good. If it seems like it's bad at the time, it's only a good thing in disguise, a blessing in disguise. But I think that's an unfortunate understanding of this verse. I think it's not the way what it actually means. And I don't think that's actually what Paul meant when he wrote those words. I believe that the NIV translation is a little bit better to help us understand what this verse is actually getting at. That translation of the verse says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And the CEV is even more clear, I think, at the point, and it says this, we know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves Him. Right? I don't know if you picked up the difference, but the difference is pretty stark. One says that all things work for our good. The other says that God works for our good. You see the difference there? One says that all things are good, if not now, eventually. The other says that God is good and that God is working for our good. See, that's a huge difference in the way that we understand this verse. One says that everything is good. The other says that God is working for our good. I think that what it actually means is that no matter what happens to us or what stupid thing we do, God will never quit working on our behalf to bring us to where He wants to be. In fact, if you've got your notes with you, we're going to, just to keep everybody on their toes, we're going to go backwards through our notes today, okay? Just because I thought that'd be fun. All right, so we're going to start with the bottom line, all right? So our bottom line, in case you, glaze over and check out until we get done, the bottom line is this. When it comes to the negative things that happen in our life, God usually doesn't cause them or even allow them so He can use them. Instead, God promises to overcome them. Okay, did you get all that? I'll say it again. It should be up on the screen. When it comes to the negative things in our lives, usually God doesn't cause them or even allow them so He can use them. Instead, He promises to overcome them. We're going to unpack that as we kind of go along this morning. I believe that the promise of Romans 8:28 says that He will overcome the things that happen to us, the negative things that happen in the world for reasons that we'll talk about. It doesn't say that God causes everything to happen. It doesn't say that everything that happens is good. But what it does say is that no matter what happens, God's plans for us, His eternal purposes for us, won't be stopped. And also notice that Romans 8:28, whatever it says, it doesn't say it to everyone. Okay, there's a couple of stipulations in there. There's a couple of catches, if you will. It says that this is only for those who, one, love God, and two, are called according to His purpose. Okay, so that leaves out a whole lot of people that would claim this verse for comfort. Okay, it leaves out the guy that lives two doors down that you've been witnessing to, but who is not a believer in Jesus, who just lost his job 3 weeks before his wedding. Okay, it might make you both feel better to tell him, well, God has something much better for you, but you can't really get comfort from this verse. It's wishful thinking as far as what the Bible might say. So why does it even matter? Why does our understanding of this verse even matter? I think there's at least four dangers that can come up if we misinterpret this verse. And the first one, and as we're going through our notes backwards, is misplaced anger. I think the first danger of interpreting this verse is misplaced anger. See, in many cases, pinning everything on God causes us to be mad at Him when He didn't have anything to do with whatever it is we're mad at Him about. All right? Proverbs 19:3 says, "A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord." See, those that assume that God's fingerprints are on every single thing that happens in our life, whether we think they're good or bad, and that God causes all that stuff, confuse what God permits and what He prefers. Okay, and I'll admit to you that this is kind of a hard thing for us to get wrap our arms around. The interplay between God's sovereignty, yeah, He's in charge, and our free will. Okay, God is in charge and He is good, but He's also given us free will, and sometimes our free will has negative consequences. Doesn't mean that God, saying God is in control and He's sovereign, doesn't mean that He's the direct cause of everything that happens. It doesn't mean that everything that happens is something that He wants to happen, and it certainly doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. God didn't cause Lucifer to rebel. He didn't cause Adam and Eve to sin in the garden. He didn't cause David to sin with Bathsheba. And He doesn't cause you or I to do the stupid things that we do on a daily, hourly, minutely basis. Okay? God does not do that. We can't blame Him for those kinds of things. Adam tried it to blame God in the Garden of Eden. It didn't work then, and it won't fly now. So one of the dangers of misinterpreting this is that we can have misplaced anger. We can direct anger toward God when it's something that He didn't really have anything to do with. Right? A second thing that kind of goes right along with that, a second danger is instead of misplaced anger, we can have misplaced hope. Okay? If we think that God caused all the bad things just so that He can then turn them into good things in our life, then all of our hope can be focused on how He's going to, in this life, turn that bad thing that happened to us into a good thing. And so we can be focusing all of our hope on the resolution of our problems in this life. Okay? Sometimes God is gracious and He does resolve our problems and our issues in this life. But that is never promised anywhere in Scripture. The Scripture says that our hope is eternal. Look at what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 18, just a few verses before the key verse that we've been looking at. He said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." That's an eternity kind of a verse. He says it even more specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Again, Paul, the same guy, is writing these words. He says, "Therefore, we don't lose heart, even though bad stuff happens. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." See, the promise of Romans 8:28 is not that everything is going to get fixed in this lifetime, but if we think that God has caused everything that happens in our life, good, bad, or indifferent, so that something good can come from it, then we run the risk of looking for that and placing all of our hope in a resolution in this life. And the resolution is not promised. God has promised resolution in eternity. Well, a third unintended consequence of assuming that there's a God-ordained reason for everything that happens is a glossing over of sin. All right? Glossing over sin. In In other words, there's not much reason to fear sin or its consequences if everything's going to come out in the wash anyway, right? If God's just going to take care of everything and work everything for our good no matter what we do, then why do we are so concerned about what we do? In fact, we might even give God credit or say it was His fault that we did something wrong. I've heard of people saying that the affair that they had was a good thing because, even though that marriage broke up, a happy marriage came from it. And these kids were produced and good came from that. Or that the church split that happened was actually a good thing and God ordained that because down the road several years, lots of people came to Christ because of this new church that was birthed. I've even heard people give credit to God for murder. Think because once the murderer got arrested and got put in jail, he became a Christian. And so it was obviously God's plan for him. And friends, God doesn't condone any of those sins. It's not His plan that any of those things would happen. He didn't cause them. I don't even think He uses them. In fact, I think He overcomes the sin and the negative and the wrong choices that we make. He overcomes those things. That's what grace does. But if we don't understand that, it can cause us to gloss over sin or even give God credit for causing that sin. A fourth thing that goes right along with that is that sometimes if we misunderstand this verse, we can act just irresponsibly, right? We can do whatever we want to, take wild chances, wild risks, again, thinking that no matter what happens, God's going to fix it all in the end, that God's going to kind of bail us out even if we ignore the voice of wisdom. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." God says, if you ignore wisdom, then there's a penalty to pay. I'm not going to bail you out of every situation. That's not what Romans 8:28 promises. So those are, I think, some dangers of getting this interpretation of the verse wrong. So if God doesn't cause everything to happen, what does? Why do the bad things happen? If it's not God working in every little detail causing those bad things to happen, why do those bad things happen? Well, you might find it odd to believe, but I do believe that everything happens for a reason. Just a lot of times it's not God, okay? There are other reasons. Does everything happen for a reason? Certainly, there's a reason for everything, but just a lot of times it doesn't include God. If you're taking notes there again, now that we're to the top of your sheet, I think here's four reasons why sometimes bad things happen. The first one is us, all right? Sometimes we have self-inflicted wounds, all right? Anybody shot themselves in the foot before, all right? You are in a bad way, and you're the reason you're in a bad way, all right? You did something that was wrong, you knew it was wrong, now you're facing the consequences of that. You know, think of, you know, a family who their house was foreclosed on them and they lost their home. Why? Because they lied on their application, so the bank gave them more loan than what they could afford, and now they're losing their house. Is that the bank's fault? No. Is it God's fault? No. What? It's their fault because they lied about things. Sometimes our own sin has negative consequences, and so the bad things that happen are a result of that. Or the example of the teenage girl who gets pregnant and everyone's all upset about that, obviously, and the parents say, you know, we're not sure why God let this happen, but it's good to know that everything happens for a reason. Well, unless we're talking about a second miraculous birth here, all right, God didn't have much to do with that. Okay, there was a reason that that happened, but it didn't have anything to do with God. And even if when everybody involved has repented and God, they're good with God, that doesn't mean that God's going to take care of that situation, that that child is going to grow up and be, you know, the president or anything. That child might be a constant grief and pain to those people. Why? Sometimes just sin has consequences. It doesn't mean you're not forgiven. It just means God hasn't promised to take away the consequences of the dumb things that we do. So sometimes the things that happen negative to us happen just because of us. Sometimes it's our own sin. Sometimes it's not sin, it's just foolish decisions. Anybody ever done something just stupid? Might not have been sinful, but it was just foolish, all right? It was not taking, you know, the wise way to go. You know, you pick the wrong stock, you lose money. You pick the wrong business partner, your business goes down. You pick your nose, you lose friends, all right? You just... lots of decisions that we have, they cause negative reactions. It might not be sinful, but just foolish. Again, Proverbs 19:3, a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. Sometimes it's just the stupid things that we do that causes bad things to happen to us. The good news isn't that God promises to keep us from making bonehead decisions, although that would be great, right? But he never promised that. The good news is that he promises to continue working on our behalf, even in spite of all the bonehead decisions we make. And so that's the promise of Romans 8:28. Sometimes bad things happen because of us. Secondly, sometimes bad things happen to us because of others, right? Sometimes it's our sin or our foolish behavior. Sometimes it's other people's sin or other people's foolish behavior. Sometimes because of no fault of our own, but we're just downstream from some stupid thing or some wrong thing that somebody else did, and we suffer the consequences, and we're in the fallout from what someone else did. And so a relationship gets broken, not because of anything we did, but because of something that someone else did. Or we lose our job, not because of anything we did, but because the boss made a bad call and made a bad decision. Sometimes whole countries have negative consequences because the people in charge and the leaders of those countries make wrong decisions, and they're just in the fallout of those wrong decisions. Sometimes bad things happen just because of what others do. The third reason that sometimes bad things happen to us is just life, right? Just life in a fallen world. Sometimes when bad things happen, nobody's to blame. It's nobody's fault. It's just because we live in a broken world, that things are broken. As we talked about, because of sins, Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, things got broken, right? Disease and death and decay, all those things entered into the creation when sin was introduced into creation. Romans, again, chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, Paul writes this. He says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration." He says that one day creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay that it's now in. Verse 22 says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth." Right? This is a broken world that we live in, and sometimes bad stuff happens just because we live in the world. Right? I mean, have you noticed Mother Nature? Sometimes she's angry. Right? Sometimes bad things happen. Turn on the news, read the newspaper. You know, earthquakes happen, tornadoes happen, floods happen. Does God cause those things? Well, maybe sometimes, but I think most of the time it's probably just the natural laws that God has put in place. And because we live in a broken world, that kind of stuff happens. Then there's Murphy. I think Murphy is Mother Nature's nephew, right? You know Murphy of Murphy's Law, right? The one that requires and ensures that every time whatever checkout line I get in will be the slowest line. Okay, so here's just a clue for you. If you ever see me at, you know, Kroger or Walmart or whatever, and you want to talk to me, do so from the other line. This is just for your own benefit. Okay, if you get in the line behind me, you will take the longest time because the line I get in is always the slowest. Now, can God use the fact that the other line goes faster, that my line goes slower? Can he use that to teach me patience? Sure. But does he cause my line to go slower in order to teach me patience? Well, maybe, but probably it's because of the uninterested cashier or the fact that the person in front of me thinks that 15 items or less doesn't apply to them, right? There's a reason, but it might not have anything to do with God, okay? So sometimes bad things happen just because we live in a fallen world. And here's the thing. When it comes to the consequences of the fall, we aren't offered immunity. We're offered eternity. Okay, I'm going to say that again. When it comes to the consequences of living in a fallen world, we as Christians, as Christ followers, are not offered immunity. We're offered eternity. And that's the promise of Romans 8:28. Well, there's a fourth reason why sometimes bad things happen, and I'm going to put God in there, all right? God. And we'll include him because while most of the time things that happen that we would consider bad aren't a result of him, occasionally, once in a while, God will intervene in this world in that way. I think of the Old Testament character of Jonah, all right? He was an Old Testament prophet. If you grew up in Sunday school, you know the story of Jonah. If not, he was just a guy that God told to go preach to the city of Nineveh. And he said no. In fact, he got on a boat and he went the exact opposite direction. And so the Bible says that God caused a storm to come up. Most people would say a storm is bad. God caused that bad thing to happen. The Bible also says that God caused the men on board Jonah's ship to throw him overboard. Okay, from Jonah's perspective, was that bad? Sounds bad to me. Okay, then the Bible says a big fish, God caused a big fish to come up and swallow Jonah. Again, from Jonah's perspective, probably bad. Okay, probably not a good thing. Why did he do that? Well, he intervened because God's eternal purposes weren't going to be thwarted, and he had other purposes for Jonah. And the reality is this, God loves each of us enough that he will occasionally, from time to time, do whatever it takes to get our attention. If we need to be redirected, sometimes he will redirect. It might not be as dramatic as a storm at sea getting thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish, okay? But there are other ways that he can get our attention, some of which we would call bad, all right? So if God knows that whatever it is that we are putting in front of him, he can take them, that thing, anytime he wants to. Right? If our job is keeping us from our relationship with God or our relationship with our family, God has the power. He can take that from us. Occasionally he does. And when he takes that thing, whatever it is that we have put in front of him, we would normally consider that a bad thing. But again, God has a greater purpose. Probably the biggest story, the most on-point story when it comes to God intervening in that way is from the Old Testament character of Joseph, right? Not Mary and Joseph from the New Testament, but Joseph, the guy with the technicolor green coat, if you know the musical, right? His life was just one crazy coincidence, if you didn't know the end of the story, after another. His brother sold him into slavery. He eventually ended up in Egypt, and from a slave became the second most powerful person in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and God used him in an incredible way, and his story is in the Bible. And so, in retrospect, and at the end of his story, he even said to his brothers, when he was being reconciled with them, he said, "It's okay, what you meant for bad, God meant for good." Now, most people would point to that story and say, see, God causes all those bad things to happen, and he causes everything to happen. Everything happens for a reason. But don't miss this about Joseph's story. And if you know it in detail, you can understand this more. If not, it's found in Genesis in the 40s, all right? Look through Genesis chapter 40s, and you can read the story of Joseph. But nowhere in Joseph's story, in all of those crazy coincidences, do we get the idea or the inclination that the reason Joseph was faithful to God, the reason that he obeyed was because he expected God to turn things around for him. Nowhere do we get that idea. You see, Joseph had no clue when his brother sold him into slavery that he was going to end up second in command in Egypt. He had no clue that God was going to use his story. He had no idea that God was going to put his story into the Bible and that we would all be talking about it today. He had no idea any of that. He had no idea what was going to happen. All he knew was that he was in a terrible situation, and he had two choices. He could be faithful or not. He could obey or not. And he knew that if he was faithful and he obeyed, that God would make things right, either in this life or in eternity. And see, that's the key. Just like Joseph's life, when we're in the midst of negative things and painful events in our life, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for us to know in advance why that is, and if God is up to something or not. Now, sometimes when we mess up and we're in a bad way because we've messed up, we understand that, and we can identify that one. But the rest of the time, it's hard for us to know. Are we in a bad way because of something somebody else did, or is God kind of orchestrating this? Is he going to use this, or is this going to be made right only in eternity? And in the meantime, it really doesn't matter, because every trial or hardship that we face calls for the same response, and that is to obey, to be faithful. Again, to show biblical faith is obeying even when it doesn't make sense, even when we don't know what the outcome is going to be. In any situation, we are just to do the next right thing. Sometimes, as in the case of Joseph, God will turn things around and make things good in this life. Often, God will only turn things around and make things good in eternity. And that's the promise of Romans 8:28. See, when life falls apart, there's something that's more important than looking for the silver lining. See, if you think that God is always going to turn everything around, every bad thing is going to get turned around into a good thing, then we're always looking for the silver lining. Every time something bad happens, we're just waiting on the edge of our seat. Okay, how's God going to make this one good? And then if he doesn't, again, we can be angry with him, or our hope is misplaced on that, looking for that silver lining. Instead, we should just be looking for, what is the path of obedience here? What is the next right step? Even if the next right step doesn't guarantee that things are going to turn out exactly right. And that kind of leads us back again to our bottom line where we started, and that is this, and hopefully it makes more sense now. When it comes to the negative things in our life, usually God doesn't cause them or even allow them so he can use them. When negative things happen to us, the promise of Romans 8:28 is that God will overcome those things. Not that he causes them or even uses them, but he overcomes those negative things. He hasn't promised that everything will always work out, but he has promised that no matter what happens, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In Romans 8:28, he's also promised that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what bonehead decisions we make, no matter what bonehead decisions other people make, no matter what the consequences or the fallout of living in a broken world is about, that God's good and eternal purpose in our life, if we are a follower of Christ, will never be thwarted. That his eternity with him is not going to be impeded because of some negative thing that happens to us in our life. I love the way Paul brings this passage to a close at the end of Romans chapter 8. Because I believe he explains what he means when he wrote in verse 8:28. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31, and we'll close with these verses. What then, he says, shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, and we might add, or stupid things we do or stupid things they do, or the consequences of falling or living in a fallen world? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, friends, everything is not good. Everything that happens to us is not good. Let's quit pretending that it is and quit saying that it is and quit pretending that God caused those things that are obviously negative. Occasionally he might, but sometimes he doesn't have anything to do with it. The promise of Romans 8, chapter 28, is not that everything that happens to us is good, or not that God causes every single thing to happen to us, but that no matter what happens to us, no matter what life throws at you, if you are a follower of Jesus, or if you are in the family of God, God has promised that nothing that happens can separate you from his love. Nothing that happens can separate you from eternity with him because of what Christ Jesus did for us. Friends, that is an incredible promise for us to hold on to, no matter what it is that we're going through in our life. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for loving us so much that you promised us that no matter what happens in our life, that you are always working for our good. God, no matter what stupid thing I do or have done, you are working for my good in Jesus. No matter what the world throws at me because of stupid things or wrong things or cruel things that other people do, or things that just happen because the sin has broken this world, God, thank you for promising that none of that can separate me from your love in eternity, and that you're always working in my life to help me toward that end. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the peace that comes with that, for the encouragement that comes with that if we are a member of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.